Welcome to Victory Bible Time, sponsored by Victory Baptist Church of Codin, Alabama. Victory Bible Time appreciates your listening to the broadcast each time and pray it is a blessing to you. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for the address. The speaker is Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. And now, Brother Reed.
Well, greetings in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're glad to have you with us again by radio. And we're turning to the book of Genesis today, and I'm reading one verse to begin our message. And notice with me in the book of Genesis, I'm reading in chapter 18, and we're coming down to verse 14. I want to read this one verse, and then when we get into a message, we'll kind of pick up the context and just see what's taking place here. Genesis chapter 18, reading in verse 14, the title of our message today is All Things Possible. All Things Possible. He says here in Genesis 18, verse 14, God is speaking to Abraham and Sarah, and it says here, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Well, Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessings today upon the reading of Holy Scripture. We pray for that soul that is not saved. We pray that you bring them to saving faith unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray today also for the saints that are listening, that they would be edified in the faith. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's always good to be with you by radio, and let me make mention of some resources that are available. You can find us at biblicaltruth.info. That is biblicaltruth.info, I-N-F-O. And you can also find us at sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you will need to go to the sidebar and go to the section titled Speakers and type my name in, which is Robert Reed, and that would carry you to our home page. If you go to biblicaltruth.info, that is our personal website. And the reason I give you these two websites, and especially biblicaltruth.info, is that we have literally hundreds of sermons and articles. Most of the sermons are full-length sermons that have been preached in our church. And an article is simply a sermon in print. And so we hope that you would take advantage of that free of charge. Please check it out. Well, notice with me now in our text, and I read verse 14, where that the Bible tells us, says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, I'm titling this message, All Things Possible. The question is asked, if this is a transforming question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And, of course, we know the answer if we believe the Scripture. Now, as we look at this text, we find if we back up and begin reading from verse 1, we find that there's been many years since God had promised to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son. We'll give you scripture on that in just a moment. But we find that here in this text, it's been many years, and we find that there are three men in verses 1, 2, and 3 that visit Abraham and Sarah. In other words, they got a visitation from the Lord. And as we look at the context, as the Lord appeared unto Abraham here, and I'm not going to get into the details because of our short time on the radio, but we find here that the Lord in the context, he appears to Abraham. We see the conversation back and forth between them from verses 1 down to about through the entire chapter, Abraham and the Lord is conversing. But we find here that the Lord comes to reaffirm a promise that he had made to Abraham and Sarah a number of years before this. Now, as we look into the Scripture, we find that God is a God of promises. God has made many promises to his people, and he has kept those promises. As a matter of fact, as we read from Genesis 1 through the book of Revelation chapter 22, we find that God has made thousands of promises to his covenant people, not only ancient Israel of the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, God has made many promises to us. Well, here's a promise that God had made at least 25 years before, and he comes now to reaffirm this promise. In this promise, from verse 9 down through about verse 15, is that Abraham and Sarah would have a son. Now, we find that as we read through the scripture, we find that in Genesis 12, the first three verses, that God had promised a seed to Abraham and Sarah. We find, as we look at this passage, obviously, ultimately, this points to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we would read the book of Galatians. But we find here that God had promised them a seed. And of course, this seed was Isaac. And that's given to us in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And then as we come through the book of Genesis, we find again that God reaffirms that promise in Genesis 15, verses 1 through about 8. Well, when we come to Genesis chapter 16, we find that Sarah and Abraham tried to help God. They're getting older in age, and they're afraid that they're not going to be able to have a son because Sarah was barren. And so we find the story in Genesis chapter 16 where that Abraham went into Hagar, and of course Ishmael was born. And then again in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 22, we find again the Lord God reaffirming again the promise he made in Genesis 12 in the very beginning. He reaffirms that and says that their seed would not be through Ishmael, but it would be through Isaac. Now, as we continue to read through the scriptures, we find that in Genesis chapter 22, that we find that God tested Abraham after that Isaac was born. He tested him, and we find that this was pointing again to the coming of Messiah. And Abraham had come to a place in his life whereby he had failed in Genesis 16, but in Genesis 22, he passed a test. He loved God. God knew that he loved him. He was obedient. And we find that even though that God did not really want him to sacrifice Isaac, but God wanted Abraham, and so Abraham went up to sacrifice his son, believing, according to Hebrews 11, verse 17 through 19, that God would raise him from the dead. Now, Galatians 4:23 said, Isaac was born of promise, and Ishmael was born of the flesh. Now, why is this important? Well, as we look at our text again, we find that in the first part of Genesis chapter 18, we find that the Lord appeared to Abraham and gave him this promise. Now, again, we find that the Lord God that we serve, that he is a God of promises. Now, and again, let me just give you a few other verses that confirm this. Titus 1 and verse 12 tells us that God cannot lie. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, all the promises of God in him, that is in Christ, are yea. And Revelation 1 5, we see that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. Now, in our text, in verses 9 through verse 15, we find that the Lord lets Abraham know that he's going to have a son. And we find that in verse 12 that Sarah laughed within herself. In other words, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And then, of course, this was a laugh of unbelief. It was not a laugh of joy. And it was a laugh of doubt, for she looked at her own circumstances at nearly 90 years of age and looking at herself and saying, how could this be? This is one of the reasons that she talked Abraham into going into Hagar a number of years back, and because she was looking at her circumstances. And of course, God wants us to look at him and not at our circumstances. So from Genesis 12 unto Genesis chapter 18, we're looking at here a total of about 25 years. Sarah is nearly 90, and Abraham is near 100. And so we find that in verse 15, that Sarah is rebuked. She's confronted about laughing, and she denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. We find that the three men that came from the Lord, that this is what she had said. Of course, they knew that she had laughed. But as we come back to verse 14 again, please notice with me that as we look at this, notice that they are encouraged. Abraham and Sarah are encouraged in this verse. It says here, now this is after that Sarah had laughed. This is after that the three men said unto Abraham that you're going to have a son. And it says in verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Notice that. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then he said, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now we see this unfolding as we get into chapter 21. We see this taking place. Now, what is amazing when we consider all of this is that we're told in the Bible many times, and specifically in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, that we are to wait upon the Lord. God has called us to wait upon him, trust him, walk with him, and keep our eyes upon the Lord God. You see, the timing had not come until we get to Genesis 18 and Genesis chapter 21 for the son, the promised seed, to be born. And God had called upon Abraham and Sarah to be patient and to trust him. Now, they lost that patience in chapter 16, but they gained that patience back again as these promises are reaffirmed. So as we come into chapter 21, in verses 1 through 8, we see here clearly that at the set time, the Lord visited Sarah. In chapter 21, in verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And of course, as we read through this chapter, Isaac is born. He is the promised seed that was given in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. So we not only see the promises of God that are not only fulfilled, but they're fulfilled at the exact time of God's will. But as we look at the text, we see God's providence. We see his providence. And God has worked out his own timing when this son should be born, the promised seed should come. And this all fit into the eternal purpose of God. And this is true within our own lives. Promises that God has made to you and I. As Christians, God will keep those promises. He will never go back on one of His promises, but many times His promises are in His timing. In other words, God has promised that He would come back again the second time and to redeem His church unto Himself. Well, there's many date setters in our world today, and there's been many date setters over the years. We don't know when Christ is coming. We do not even know that He's coming in our generation or the next generation. But one thing we know for sure is that the Lord is coming again. He has promised in the Holy Scripture many times in the New Testament that He would come back to redeem His church. And so we have that promise, but it's in God's timing. Many saints, thousands and millions of saints over the years have died and waiting for the resurrection. We may die also and be waiting for the resurrection in that sense. So we find that He is a God of providence as well as promises. God's providence will fulfill all of His promises, but it will be in God's timing, in His timing. Again, we are promised glorification, a resurrection, a new body, and new heavens, new earth, new city, new Jerusalem, etc. And still yet, that promise is true. It will be carried out, but it will be in God's timing. Well, we also see in our text in Genesis chapter 18, I'm going to read verse 14 again. Again, we've titled this message, All Things Possible. And he said here in verse 14, Is anything too hard for the Lord? Notice, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. We find that God's promises are brought about through His providence for His eternal purpose. He is a God of purpose. We must see the big picture. And it's not just about me. We live in a day of selfies, and it's all about me. But you, as we mentioned a moment ago in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 8, it says, At the set time of which God had spoken. Now, from the beginning of this promise, in Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, we find that 25 years had went by. In this 25 years, they had to trust the Lord that it would come to pass. Because it was through Abraham's promised seed that the deliverer, the Messiah, Christ, would come. So now this promise is going to be kept by God. And even though they faltered a little bit in Genesis 16, because they're looking at their circumstances, they're getting older, they're trying to figure out just how is this thing going to work out. Sarah's womb was barren. God had closed her womb. And so they're looking at their circumstances, saying, how can this possibly come to pass? Well, we find others in the Scripture that for many years, as Elizabeth in the New Testament, the mother of John the Baptist, for many years she could not have a child. But the Lord gave her a child, and John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me use the latter part of our message here today to talk about the fact that all things are possible, and give a few New Testament passages. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, I'm reading in verse 20, the Bible says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Notice as I read this passage in the context of prayer, we find that God is able. Notice this. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Notice this is according to the power that worketh in us. That power that worketh in us is the Holy Spirit. Those who are saved by the grace of God, they have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them. And so you'll notice that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We're talking about the fact that all things are possible with the Lord. There's no promise He cannot keep. There's no prayer that He cannot answer. There's no problem that He cannot solve. We're told in Matthew 7, verse 7, to seek and knock and ask. We're told again in Matthew 21 and verse 20 how to pray. In John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, we're to pray in Christ's name. And anything we ask, God will give if it is prayed according to His will in 1 John 5 and in verse 14. And I want to read another New Testament passage, and that's in Hebrews chapter 7 as we get toward the end of this message. In Hebrews chapter 7. Now, I'm reading here verse 22 and in verse 25. Again, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. And so we find that we serve a God of promises, a God of providence, and a God of purpose. God has a purpose. And we must sometimes see the big picture. We may be praying now for the Lord to come. He may not even come in our lifetime, but He will come. There will be a resurrection. There will be those entering into that eternal state of God's kingdom, but it will be within His time frame. But God will keep that promise of resurrection. We find that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, He says this, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Jesus Christ is our surety. And you ought to study that word out. He's our guarantee of a better testament. That is His blood shed under the New Testament for our sins, which is called the everlasting covenant in Hebrews 13, verse 20. But notice with me in verse 25, he's speaking of Christ, and he says, wherefore He is able. Here we find this again. He is able. Again, go back to Abraham and Sarah and think about their dilemma. They were given a promise. 25 years had went by. She's nearly 90. He's nearly 100. They're promised a child. How in the world can this happen? Well, with God, nothing is impossible. We find that all things are possible when it comes to the Lord God. If He's made a promise, He will keep that promise. He's made a promise to those who have accepted Him as Savior that they would one day enter into His kingdom. In other words, be resurrected. Well, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, not only is Jesus a surety of a better covenant, but in verse 25, it says, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Notice He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, that is through Jesus Christ, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. God is able to save us and keep us saved through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood at the cross in AD 33. We see this principle again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5, an incorruptible inheritance that is awaiting for everyone who has believed. God is able. God said in Matthew 3, 9, He is able to, of these stones, to raise up children to Abraham. God is able. And so I want to leave with you today is that God is in the saving business. God is able to save anyone out of any circumstance. But listen to me, dear Christian, God is keeping His promises. God has made many promises to those who have received Him as Lord and Savior, who have believed on Jesus Christ. And God has made many promises to us, and God will keep every one of those promises in His own time according to His own eternal purpose. You can bank on that. But dear friend, if you're not saved today, if you've never been born again, we find that Jesus Christ died for our sins at Calvary. He was raised again the third day. We find that salvation is in Christ. Acts 20:21 speaks of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 9, we're told in that passage that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In verse 10, for the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I leave with you today, if you're lost, trust the Lord today. Receive Him as Lord and Savior. The Bible again speaks of repentance and faith. But He says here in verse 13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a promise that God has made. And if you'll trust Him today, God has promised that He would save you, and He's also promised that He will keep you saved. Put your faith and trust in the Lord, believing that He's the Son of God, that He gave His life at Calvary's cross, that you and I might have eternal life. I hope and pray that you'll trust in Him today. Well, our time is just about come and gone again by radio. We want to thank each of you for listening to the broadcast. Remember, you can find us at biblicaltruth.info, that is I-N-F-O. You can also find us at sermonaudio.com. If you go to sermonaudio.com, you'd need to go to the sidebar and find the section titled Speakers and type in my name, which is Robert Reed, and that'll carry to our home page. We always appreciate you listening. We'd love to hear from you. If you've been saved through the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. If you've been just blessed through the broadcast, we would also love to hear from you as well. Be encouragement not only to myself, but also to the entire congregation. Well, again, I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, may God richly bless.
You have been listening to Victory Bible Time with Brother Robert Reed, pastor of Victory Baptist Church. The address, Victory Baptist Church, P.O. Box 257, Codin, Alabama, 36523. Location in Codin, Alabama, on Bellengrath Road, about 3 miles south of Bellengrath Gardens. Times of services, Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Again, thank you for listening to Victory Bible Time, Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. on WOSM FM 103.1. Until next time, may the Lord's blessings be upon you.